The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
But the same people now telling me about how to deal with China are the ones who sold out America for decades to China. For decades, they gave up to China. The corrupt globalist establishment that ruled our country for decades is now complaining that I'm doing exactly what I pledged to do in the campaign. All of these things, tariffs, the men and women sports, everything. The borders, strong borders.
New tariffs are going into effect just after midnight, including a 104% duty on China. That's 20% over fentanyl trafficking, 34% in reciprocal tariffs from last week, and an additional 50% added on Monday after Beijing announced a 34% counter tariff on U.S. goods.
Yeah, right now it doesn't look like they're backing down.
President Trump dared China to keep their reciprocal tariffs up, and they did. The president continues putting out the word that he and Xi of China have a good relationship, as the Chinese are still warning they'll fight this to the end.
But they say that this tit-for-tat war will continue for a while, and it depends on who blinks first and who is able to bear more pain.
China has accused the Trump administration of bullying and abuse of the tariff system. Helen, this trade war really digging in deep. Both sides not going to let up anytime soon.
Yeah, there was also action actually against 18 American companies.
President Trump has a spine of steel, and he will not break. And America will not break under his leadership. When America is punched, he punches back harder. That's why there will be 104% tariffs going into effect on China tonight at midnight.
If you look at the history of the trade negotiations, we are the deficit country. So what do we lose by the Chinese raising tariffs on us? We export one-fifth to them of what they export to us. So that is a losing hand for them.
A losing hand for China, says Besant there. You can see from all those clips we put together, the trade war escalation continues. It's a story that's not going away. I mean, you've got China now using war terminology. China accusing America of unfair trade practices. Pretty rich on the part of the Chinese. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Got a little feedback on the mic. Hopefully I'm not rubbing it on my coat. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. You can leave comments underneath the Rumble video or email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. I mean, as President Trump there said in the open, I mean, one thing you have to say is that he's been talking about this, not even just on the campaign trail recently, not even just last summer. He's been talking about this for decades. But certainly on the campaign trail, he was talking about tariffs and unfair trade and the United States getting ripped off almost every day. Listen to the Senator John Thune, what he said yesterday, clip 9.
I think the president, we all heard it. He won 77 million votes, and there wasn't a day on the campaign trail where he didn't talk about tariffs.
There was not a day. I mean, Thune, a lot of people see him as a rhino, but he's on board. Mike Johnson, to some degree, on board with the Trump agenda. 77 million votes. The American people have spoken. They want the tariffs. Now we're going to talk about the leverage that China might have and how much unpleasant, you know, activity with the economy or prices or whatever Americans are willing to tolerate. We'll see about that. But just stepping back and looking what's happening, and Europe is in on it now, too. Europe's reaching out to China. I mean, this is exactly what the Bible says will happen. But in the short term, it would seem anyway that America has a little bit more leverage because the Chinese economy is so dependent on exports to the United States. But stepping back, I mean, really, we're seeing all we're missing is the emperor in Europe. But we've entered into the era of strongmen. You've got the Jeroboam figure who's squaring off with President Xi, the communist dictator in China. This is really incredible to watch. 104% tariffs. And then China responds by devaluing the yuan, which they've done so many times before. And you have escalation, as I say. But looking back over the past 30 years, I mean, Donald Trump is taking on the Chinese dragon in a way that no American president has been willing to do. They've sold out the American worker. They've sold out U.S. manufacturing. Donald Trump's trying to bring it back. This is a years-long process. He's standing up to China. No other president has had the courage to do that, at least not in our modern time. Listen to Jesse Waters as he covers some important history, recent history, in fact. Clip three.
Remember that giant sucking sound?
We have got to stop sending jobs overseas. To those of you in the audience who are business people, pretty simple. If you're paying $12, $13, $14 an hour for factory workers, and you can move your factory south of the border, pay a dollar an hour for labor, have no health care, that's the most expensive single element in making a car, have no environmental controls, no pollution controls, and no retirement, and you don't care about anything but making money, there will be a giant sucking sound going south.
They called Ross Perot crazy, but after 30 years, they call him right. Bubba was wrong. He signed NAFTA, and the giant sucking sound came from the south. And then he signed the China deal, and the giant sucking sound came from the east. There were a lot of sucking sounds in the 90s.
Interesting seeing Ross Perot again. That's from 1992. I mean, he became a punchline, a joke. And yet, who turned out to be right? That was what, 30 plus years ago when he was saying that, look, if you outsource all this to Mexico or wherever, you're going to lose your manufacturing base, your jobs, because they don't have to play by the rules in Mexico, in China. China went through the rigmarole to join the World Trade Organization back in 2001. They haven't played by the rules since. They've been taking advantage of the United States, and not just through tariffs, currency manipulation, regulations, stealing, theft. As I say, how rich for them to say, you know, what America's doing is unfair. What China's been doing for decades is cheat, steal, lie. It's a communist dictatorship. Listen to Steve Miller on Fox yesterday, clip 20.
This is about the president of the United States defending the core national security interests of the United States. China has hollowed out our defense industrial base. This is very important for your viewers to understand. America cannot create the essential materials it needs to ensure our security into the future because China has stolen those supply chains. So America, but not just America, our allies around the world are dependent on China for our own defense, for our own economic well-being. That is the national security threat the president is responding to. And he's going to take whatever actions are necessary to ensure that he can keep America safe and that we can live in a country in which American workers and American factories can supply all of the materials and needs for our national security and defense.
It's a national security threat. And whether or not America succeeds in the short term on this trade war, it's really an economic war at this stage. And everyone's getting drawn into it. And trade wars lead to hot wars, as we've been saying. But whatever you may think, and again, it's in God's hands. We know that ultimately the Mart of Nations is going to gang up against America. In the short term, though, we know there's going to be a resurgence. We just don't know the extent of it here in America. But one thing is certain. I mean, when you're getting all of your pharmaceuticals from China, when they're you're basically going through them to get the technology and things that you need for your own national security. It's a national security threat, as he said there. Listen to Miller as he goes back and again looks at some of this history since China came into the WTO, clip 21.
China has built its entire industrial strategy since its entrance into the World Trade Organization on being able to sell highly subsidized, currency manipulated, dumped goods into U.S. markets. It is an industrial strategy from China to product dump strategically to take out American steel, to take out American aluminum, to take out core American defense industries and defense needs so that we're reliant on China. And what's happening here is that China is now discovering for the first time that they have met an American president who is not going to be intimidated, who's not going to be bullied, who's not going to be coerced, who's going to stand up for our essential security needs.
All of the cheating, all of the stealing, the espionage, the unfair trade balance or imbalance. It had happened under Bill Clinton's watch. It happened under George W. Bush's watch. Barack Obama, the dear leader, the fake president before Trump came back. I mean, there was a smaller trade war during the first Trump term. And China does have, I mean, they do have a little bit more leverage this time because since 2017, 18, 19, they've been preparing for this. I think they were like so many in the world who thought that Donald Trump would never return to office. But still, they do think long term. And they've been preparing for another trade war. And judging by the initial statements, they're not backing down. Listen to Steve Miller as he talks about the years-long trillion-dollar trade deficit that the United States has had with China. Clip 22.
The true trade deficit with China is $1 trillion a year because China is shipping all of its goods through other countries like Vietnam, like Cambodia, like Thailand, but also it's sending its supply components through the EU as well that they're then making into our markets, through Canada, through Mexico. China is the destabilizing force here for the entire system of global trade. And everyone's put up with it, Martha. Everyone. The EU's put up with it. Mexico's put up with it. Canada's put up with it. Japan, Korea, everyone. One man, one president has said, we are not going to let China extort, dominate, and control our entire system of international trade through cheating.
We're really at a critical moment with respect to this global trade war because, you know, China is not Panama. China is not Mexico. China is an economic force in this world. Their economy doesn't rise to the level of America, but it nevertheless produces a lot of goods that American consumers buy. This is a massive escalation. And as I say, China has quite a few tools in the toolbox to fight back. But in listening to Donald Trump, he seems like the more they fight back, the more he's going to escalate it further. I mean, right now it's at 104%. What are Chinese manufacturers thinking? Yes, there's U.S. businesses that get a lot of goods from China that are probably a little panicked right now as well. Quite an escalation. Listen to Donald Trump answer his critics, clip 16.
But the shrill voices that you're hearing this week about tariffs are the same scoundrels and frauds who never thought twice about when the United States lost 90,000 factories and plants.
They never said a word. That's factories, he said, 90,000. Think about the hundreds of thousands of workers that disappeared in some small town in Pennsylvania or Ohio. Because presidents in years past sold them out, building up an economy that's dependent on foreign goods. And Trump's come in there and he doesn't seem too worried about even the time constraints that he's under. I mean, to be a year and a half away from midterms where, you know, Republicans could possibly lose the House in the Senate. I think the House would be more likely. But he's going out with all guns blazing. That's for sure. Listen to Trump again, clip 17.
And I'm actually looking forward to the midterms. I really are. We're going to prove that all of their treasonous years of betrayal will not be forgotten, because it's treason. What they did is treason. When they allowed millions of people to pour in through open borders from all over the world, they came. To me, that's treason. What they've done to our country is unthinkable. The money we have to spend to take people out. And then we have judges that say, no, let Trende Arakwa come back into our country. They want them to come back in, killers.
He doesn't seem too worried about the forthcoming elections. Now they've committed treason, and Americans see it. I'll play you a clip later from the CNN guy that's going on and on about just the impact that this presidency is having on America, on the world even, and how that it's happened just within a couple of months, weeks even. We've been talking about viewing the trade war, making sure that we try to view it from the perspective of American enemies. And we've given you more and more clips of late from European news sources in particular. Listen to Deutsche Welle. This is clip 18.
Beijing not only imposing reciprocal tariffs of its own on U.S. goods, also halting the export of those valuable rare earths, which are critical for so many U.S. high-tech industries.
China, the world's largest source of rare earths. Beijing began developing the lucrative mining industry in the 1980s. China now accounts for some 90% of global production. Most of its rare earths mines are located in the south of the country. Rare earths are used in making many high-tech products, including computer chips, electric vehicle batteries, medical equipment, and in the aerospace industry. The U.S. imports some 70% of its rare earths needs from China. Apple and Tesla are two companies that source Chinese rare earths in their supply chains. Yttrium is one of seven minerals now subject to China's export stop to the U.S. It's used in consumer electronics, like in screens and LED displays. In addition to yttrium, the list drawn up by Beijing includes dysprosium, gadolinium, lutetium, samarium, scandium, and terbium. F-35 fighter jets are one of the U.S.-built systems that rely on rare earths imported from China. Advanced missile technology is another. U.S. rare earths expert Melissa Sanderson says China made that list strategically. They picked the things that are crucial for the U.S. economy. Until the trade dispute is resolved, the United States will be cut off from shipments of key rare earths from China.
I mean, the way China's retaliating, they're making Donald Trump's point. They're proving his point. How could the United States of America be so dependent on a decades-long adversary that's producing, okay, steal the technology from Uncle Sam, bring it back to China, and create it with slave labor at virtually no cost, then take advantage of free trade, quote unquote, and sell it back to Uncle Sam so that they can put it in their F-35 fighter jets? This is insane. What was Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden thinking? Well, in the case of the Biden crime family, they were bribed by the CCP. They were bribed. Who knows how many others were? As Elon Musk keeps saying, how do you go off to Washington on a $185,000 salary and turn out to be worth $85 million like Chuck Schumer, or $270 million like Nancy Pelosi? Who knows how many millions the Biden family's worth? They sold out their own nation. Donald Trump is right. Treason. Treasonous actions. They betrayed their own people. And think about how many American towns have suffered as you look back at the fake presidency, like that one example coming out of Ohio with the cats and dogs and whatever. You know, all these immigrants coming from Haiti, and a lot of the, you know, a lot of the single white men, young men, jobless, wandering the streets, addicted to drugs. Add that to all the fentanyl that's pouring across the border from Mexico and Canada. This is bitter, bitter affliction. How could China, of all countries, get so much control of these rare earth minerals or all of this sophisticated military technology? How could America ever be so dependent on the CCP? As I say, China's got some tools in the toolbox, and they're making Trump's point. Okay, you raise it to 104%. Well, we're going to make sure you don't have the technology that you need for your military hardware, the planes and so on. Listen to, what was that, 18? Play clip 19 from DW.
I mean, as I read it, they haven't actually banned the exports yet. What they've done is put export controls on these rare earths. And this means that any company in China exporting has to get permission. So it'll be a few days before we see the exact extent of the application of these controls. And this is just the latest set of controls that China has put on different critical minerals. Well, I think there are two things to recognize in China's dominance. I mean, your commentator mentioned the 90% of supply, and that is the 90% of the refined products, the metals and chemicals from rare earths. China actually only produces about 70% of the ores. The ores are produced in other countries, such as the US, such as Brazil, Vietnam and Myanmar and Australia. But it's the processing that is key. And the world's been very, outside China, has been very slow to build up the capacity in the processing. The US has one coming on stream in California. Canada has a new one. Estonia, Malaysia also refine. But this is the problem. It's not so much the ores, it is the processing, which is an extremely sophisticated technology that the Chinese have mastered.
After stealing it, Sundance says here, Beijing begins using war terminology to discuss the trade conflict with the U.S. through a series of cumulative trade tariffs. President Trump has now placed Chinese imports into the USA in a position of 104% tariffs. 104. In response, Beijing has devalued their currency and dumped treasuries, but no amount of subsidy devaluation or use of their sovereign wealth fund is going to compensate for 104% taxes on Chinese products. So Sundance is a believer, and quite a few in the Trump administration are. You heard Besant earlier. He said, look, it's 5-1. It's an imbalance, 5-1 in favor of China. So the tariffs are going to hurt them right away. It starts today. Very soon, all purchase orders from the USA for Chinese manufactured products will stop. The Beijing Dragon is looking at the future through a zero-sum position. Now they vow to fight to the death. Well, I mean, the thing of it is, they do have some leverage, as I say. It's not easy for democracies to fight against tyrannic governments because China... I mean, China will literally starve their own people. China will reduce its own citizenry to poverty, filth, squalor in order to fight the American enemy. American citizens wouldn't stand for that. They'd take to the streets before that ever happened. And most American presidents wouldn't subject their citizens to that. Although, as I said, you have American presidents in our modern history that have sold out their own people, the people that voted them in. And not one of them had the courage to stand up to China. Instead, we wooed them into the WTO. It was going on during the Clinton years. Yeah, join on. Enjoy free trade, at least for you. I remember reading a book, I forget the name of it. just how close and cozy the relationship was between Clinton, Bill Clinton, and the CCP. It's the same with all of them. And then they want to say that Donald Trump is the one who won't stand up to enemies. Well, he could do a better job in standing up to Putin. But that said, I mean, here we see a backbone. Here we see a willingness to do what no other president before him was willing to do. And you have people howling in protest. They have some leverage, though. The Wall Street Journal, speaking of China, talks about the different economic weapons that they can deploy if this keeps escalating. And again, this is something that we have to keep our eyes on. It's huge. It's leading to hot war. The Journal says, in the years since President Trump's first trade war with China, Beijing has built an arsenal of tools to hit the U.S. where it hurts. So they're not quite as optimistic as Sundance over at the Journal. That says, while Trump has focused on tariffs as his trade weapon of choice, China's strategy goes well beyond imposing its own levies, relying on the lure of the Chinese market for U.S. companies. They're going to go after U.S. companies. A central thread running through its calculus is how to inflict hardship on companies that bank on their ties with the world's second largest economy. You see, the Chinese economy is totally dependent on America's, but there's a lot of companies that are totally dependent on the world's second largest economy. Tools that Beijing has already used and is likely to expand include export controls of critical materials American companies use to make chips and defense-related products. Right, you just saw that on the DW report. Regulatory investigations designed to intimidate and penalize U.S. companies and blacklists intended to bar U.S. businesses from selling to China. In addition, authorities are preparing new ways to pressure American companies to give up their crown jewels, intellectual property, or lose access to the Chinese market. So as I say, China's got some leverage. The mix of China's latest countermeasures illustrates its increased focus on targeting U.S. companies, especially those engaged in high-end technology. In its intensifying firefight with Washington, Beijing continues to rely on the lure of the Chinese market for companies, despite China's recent sluggish growth. Well, that gives us a bit of insight into where China may be vulnerable. Well, it continues. I think the thing to think about here is, you know, how much are the American people willing to put up with, and for how long? For decades. I mean, we've been spoiled on cheap Chinese goods thanks to all of this manipulation. And Donald Trump, and he may be asking for a lot here. He's relying upon the will of the American people to maybe put up with some uncomfortable times for a few weeks, few months. He was saying today, I think on Truth Social, look, so what if the stock market's down? Now's the time to buy. He's looking at it positively. And you see other investors that say, well, if you're going to invest based on every, you know, jerk up or down, you're going to lose money. The people that make money on stocks, they're the ones that put their money in for the long haul. And they don't worry so much about a sudden and abrupt downturn. Or if it happens, they put more in, banking on the fact that it's going to bounce back. The other angle to this story is, you know the Mart of Nations is coming. You know Europe has its empire without its emperor, doesn't quite have its military force yet. So they're still, I mean, they still need some time. And even when Hitler was building up his war machine, he'd push a little bit and he'd back off because he didn't want to get squashed at the start. And meanwhile, there was a fast and furious movement to build up that military machine, that military force. So in the short term, it would seem that America has some leverage, a lot of leverage, But again, Donald Trump's dependent on the American people here. It'll be interesting to see how that this plays out. I mean, in one of our news gatherers sent me this quote. It's from Field Marshal Allenbrook. He visited Washington, D.C. in 1940. This was right at the peak of the Battle of Britain. And Allenbrook is quoted as saying, I have never seen a nation so highly organized for peace. I mean, here, Britain was under war rations. Allenbrook comes over and he sees the United States. He sees all of this prosperity, all of this wealth. And he says, this is a nation that's organized for peace. And of course, those of you that know about that history know that we were literally bombed into the war. And then we had to tighten our belts. And then we had to refocus our manufacturing base, which at that time was still there. It was a powerhouse. So there's a lot this time around that's different. But even going back 100 years or so, it took Pearl Harbor for Americans to finally wake up to the fact that, okay, we're going to have to make some sacrifices here. And we're going to have to serve the country. And we're going to have to fight against tyranny. How much are Americans willing to do that this time around? And for how long? Supposing they are, as was brought out, 77 million Americans voted for Donald Trump, and they heard him on the campaign trail every day talking about tariffs. Knowing you've been ripped off for decade after decade after decade, it would seem that there's at least a section of our society that would say, hey, I'm fine with higher prices on a Sony TV or whatever, so long as we get fairness, so long as manufacturing companies return to Ohio and Pennsylvania. This is from the Wall Street Journal. It says Americans in 2024 bought 5.7 times as much flatware and dishes and 3.5 times the furniture compared with 1984, according to Commerce Department. So what is that, 30 years on? They purchased 2.5 times the clothing and footwear, putting belongings in one of the country's roughly 58,000 self-storage facilities. In other words, we're just on this wild spending spree. Are Americans prepared to tighten their financial belts, to reduce their standard of living, to stop buying so many cheap Chinese-made products? You see how the system works. Steve Miller explained it. China produces it with slave labor, and then they send it, they funnel it through Vietnam and other nations like that so that they can get the free trade. So they can rip the United States off. And nobody does it better than China. Europe might be a close second. They've been taking advantage of the U.S. for decades, as I say. And right under the noses of all those presidents from the 90s on, 35, 40 years, it says, but the buildup of stuff is a uniquely American phenomenon. Roughly 80% of the world's storage facilities are located in the U.S. We buy so much stuff that we have to put it in storage. We can't even use it. We don't have space for it. And America has the biggest homes in the world. There's a lot being exposed here. A lot. I think even for God's family, you know, Mr. Armstrong talked decades ago about preparing to tighten our financial belts. There's a lot to be said for cutting back and pruning, if it's wise. I mean, even as you prepare your home and your vehicles, your office for the spring holy days, de-leavening, cleaning. Together with that, oftentimes you've got an opportunity to organize, to downsize, to get rid of things. It feels good. I'm not saying I speak for 330 million Americans, because we've been spoiled. We love stuff so much that we have storage facilities to store it. It's pretty amazing. Victoria Leyva, it says, a professional organizer in Houston, said that she sees some families treating entire rooms like junk closets. About 21% of people dedicate over 500 square feet purely to storage, according to the Storable survey. Wow, I mean, that makes me want to go up into my attic and throw more stuff away. Just get rid of it. The garage, the file cabinets. I was going through the file cabinets this year thinking, how much of this do I even need with so much electronic storage these days? It's easy to just be a pack rat and accumulate things. That's what America's been doing, especially since the days of Bill Clinton's administration. Well, we've talked a lot about China, but and the tools that they have in their toolbox to fight back, to fight against Donald Trump. And they've been preparing for years. And probably the biggest tool or weapon that they might have is if they enter into a trade alliance with Europe. Huge market when you put them all together. And so here we come to the prophesied Mart of Nations. This was in the Morning Brief. Mr. Hilliker says the EU voted yesterday to retaliatory tariffs, imposing 25% levy on the $21 billion worth of U.S. goods. So they're ramping up trade war escalation as well. And furthermore, Mr. Hilliker says the EU is courting China to form a reform trading system in response to Donald Trump's tariffs. This is a major prophetic trend to watch, as our In Brief reports. Any links to that? You can get to our daily briefs, by the way, by just going to our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to the website, scroll down a little bit at the homepage, and you just have to give us your email address in the case of the brief, which is emailed out every morning, every evening. But then also, you've got all of the literature available at the website. You can call our operators to request maybe Russia and China in prophecy. That's made available for no cost, no obligation. The number there, 1-866-930-3024. In the same morning brief, U.S. Treasury's in trouble. Yields on 10-year bonds are up sharply. This means the U.S. government must pay people more to persuade them to lend money to Uncle Sam. You see, it's not like the United States has all the leverage by any means. I mean, we are dependent on the dollar being the reserve currency. We're dependent on the American people being willing to tighten their belts, financially speaking. There's a lot of things at play here. Sundance says here, after previously saying her number one concern about Trump's tariff program was Beijing dumping all their excess products into the EU at a discount, EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen announces she is coordinating the tariff response with China. This is Sundance. I mean, we're seeing the early stages here of the Mart of Nations prophecy. The Mart of Nations Alliance. How soon they'll be able to really stick it to the United States remains to be seen, but it's coming. Apparently, the EU recognizes the ideological alignment of support from Canada just isn't going to be enough to pressure Trump and retain leverage into the U.S. market. This is quite a remarkable admission from von der Leyen, all things considered. And then he quotes from another news report here. It says, von der Leyen held today a phone call with Premier Ling Qiang to discuss the state of EU-China relations. The two leaders held a constructive discussion during which they took stock of bilateral and global issues. The president underscored the vital importance of stability and predictability for the global economy in response to the widespread disruption caused by the U.S. tariffs. Von der Leyen stressed the responsibility of Europe and China as two of the world's largest markets to support a strong, reformed trading system, free, fair, and founded on a level playing field. I'm sure that's just what China will give to them. But see, because of what Donald Trump is doing, Orange Hitler, you're seeing even enemies come together in opposition to the U.S. And we know that's prophesied. Sundance says the coordination of response between Brussels and Beijing is happening simultaneous to the Chinese central bank beginning a rapid devaluation of their currency. So they're all coming together. The world's about to de-dollarize, as another headline says here. How Donald Trump could dethrone the dollar, that's in Foreign Affairs. There's a lot at play here, as I say. But it does seem like that in the short term, we don't know for sure, but in the short term that China would have to blink first, just because these forces, these alliances, they're just not quite prepared to go after the United States in a way that would really hurt them. Listen to just, this is, I think, from Jesse Waters' show. Bartiromo's on there. She has her own show on Fox as well. But they're just talking about how momentous this particular time is and what Donald Trump is going up against, what he has the courage to confront and face. It's pretty amazing. You guys can play 12, 11, and 4 together.
President Trump, his ultimate goal is to get manufacturing back to the United States. And how else was he going to do it? We've been talking about being independent for years. Everybody knows we depend on China for prescription drugs, which is wild. Everybody knows we depend on Taiwan for advanced semiconductor chips, and we use those chips in the military. Cannot be. President Trump is taking this on. But remember, if we don't see that manufacturing fired up in America soon, we're not going to see the Republicans in charge. It takes about 3 years for a company to fire up their supply chain in America, move it, the supply chain from Mexico, from Vietnam, from China, whatever, into the United States. 2 to 3 years. The midterm elections are next year. So if the Republicans lose next year and then the White House is lost, then the Republicans are no longer directing policy. So timing is of the essence. What President Trump is doing is massive. He is taking on structural issues of this economy that very few, if any, president has wanted to do or dared to do before. President Trump is doing it. But his time is limited, and the timing is of essence.
If Trump can pull this off, and we hope he does, he'll go down as one of the greatest presidents in history. Maybe it's because he got shot. Maybe it's because he nearly went to prison, or maybe it's his age, or maybe taking 4 years off and coming back on the job, you got a fresh head. But he's going for broke, and he knows how to use power.
He's going for broke. That's true. He's all in. He talked about it every day on the campaign trail, and he's declared war. And as we've discussed on this show, I mean, there's a lot of hatred and animosity toward the United States that's been revealed because of this. He didn't start the trade war, certainly not with China. And it's escalating. But God, as we know, you mentioned the assassination attempt there. God brought him back. And that was a miracle. God silenced Obama, the dear leader who had such a tight hold on power for so long. And that's a miracle. And God said there would be a resurgence and that this administration, coming in the spirit of Jeroboam of old, would have king-like authority and power. And that's really what we're seeing. What we're seeing. Listen to this from CNN. Coming from CNN, it's actually quite funny, given how they were all trying to assassinate him last year. Either politically or literally. This is clip one.
I think there was this concern among some folks that Donald Trump would come in for a second term and kind of be a lame duck. He ain't no lame duck. If anything, he's a soaring eagle. What am I talking about here? Let's talk about Trump executive orders in 2025. He's already signed 111 so far. That is the most at this point in a presidency in at least 100 years. In fact, it's the most in any single year, and we're only in April, since Harry S. Truman in the early 1950s. 50s. The bottom line is whether you like Trump or you don't like him, you can't say that he's coming and not try to deliver on what he at least believes was his promises on the campaign trail, and he's doing so in historic fashion.
And he goes on and gives some of the percentages. He's come in as a soaring eagle, and he's got popular support. It's pretty amazing hearing this from CNN. Harry Anton, I think, is his name. You better be careful. He's going to lose his job. Listen to one more bit from his segment there, clip two.
I think the American people recognize what he's doing here is completely different. We're talking, get this, 86% of the American public believes that Trump's approach to presidential power is completely different from past presidents, compared to only 14% who believe it is in line with precedent. And we're talking about at least 79% of Democrats, independents, and Republicans. So again, you can agree or you can disagree with Donald Trump, but what you can't disagree with is that he's doing things very differently.
He's definitely a different president. He's doing things differently than Clinton, George W. Bush, the Dear Leader, Joe Biden, all of them standing up to the great dragon, the Chinese dragon, standing up to dictators, standing up to strongmen, aiming for fair trade practices and wanting to rebuild the manufacturing base in the United States. I mean, what's not to like or appreciate about that if you're an American, particularly given the 90,000 factories that have closed down as American leaders have sold out the country? Treason, as Donald Trump said earlier. He's not too concerned, he says, about midterms or upcoming elections, because these leaders, these corrupt leaders that have lined their pockets with money, some of it coming from China, the CCP, no doubt, funneled in just the way that China funnels in goods through Vietnam or wherever else. It is prophesied, not just his return to office, as we talked about, nonstop, it seems, for 4 years. But Amos 7 also brings out the fact that Jeroboam would receive support from the kingdom's court, the Supreme Court. This is from Fox News. They had the ruling the other day about Donald Trump he can go ahead and send these criminals to El Salvador or wherever else he's sending them. He has every right to deport them. I saw someone approach a protester in favor of the Dear Leader against deporting anybody. And they just asked, well, what about Barack Obama? He deported such and such number of illegals. Was that okay? It's only wrong when the bad orange man does it. That's the message. The Supreme Court on Tuesday sided with the Trump administration and upheld the mass firing of tens of thousands of probationary federal employees. So here are these radical leftist judges that want to get in there and try to prevent the president of the United States from even firing someone. This is unheard of. Nobody had a problem with Obama when he fired people en masse. But if Trump does it, hey, you got to block it. You got to delay it. You got to slow it down. God's given him some favor, and even favor from the highest court in the land, even though it's not coming from Amy Coney Barrett, sadly. It should be these should be 8-1 rulings, not 5-4. The majority of the high court ruled that the plaintiffs, nine nonprofit organizations who had sued to reinstate the employees, lacked standing to sue. The district court's injunction was based solely on the allegations of the nine nonprofit organization plaintiffs in this case. But under established law, those allegations are presently insufficient to support the organization's standing, the court said in an order. So SCOTUS finally stepping in to rein in some of these rogue district judges. You see what Donald Trump's going up against here at home. That Enton, did I play the second one from Enton? I don't think Did I? Number two? Yeah, we did play that. I think in that same segment, he also talked about how that, you know, there's 47% of Americans that believe that Donald Trump has too much power, you know, dictatorial power. The crowd that says, well, he's a king. He's going to be in there for life. But then, like Enten brings out on CNN, the other 53%, the majority, that is, most of them think he has the right amount of power. I think it's something like 17% that think he needs more power. So Enten's point was that, you know, this argument that he's a king, that he's a dictator for life, you know, most Americans aren't buying that. So he's got the support at home. The question is, for how long? How much are Americans willing? How much of unpleasant activity or difficulty? How many obstacles? How much stress, trial, strain, I was going to say, are we willing to put up with? I mean, these are some trying times. We're certainly reminded of this in the lead up to Passover, all that Jesus Christ went through and withstood. For us, the beating and the crucifixion, and he kept repeating it to the disciples who just could not accept this. Their understanding of love was very different than what God's love is. Now, their minds would be open to that once they receive the Spirit of God. But the suffering that God subjected himself for us, as I said to the students the other day, I mean, God's love involves sacrifice and sometimes even pain. But when you're spoiled, when you have selfish love only, a lot of people aren't willing to put up with any kind of pain or suffering. So we'll see. The email address, as I told you, td@thetrumpet.com, a couple of emails since we have a minute or so left, says, I noticed in that BBC article, someone from Germany just casually mentions that Germany started two world wars. It's amazing that you receive so many comments from people who deny this. You should refer them to this article. It's talking about the BBC piece that we went through last week or week before, quoting the 18-year-old girl, remember, who said, you know, hey, I've been a pacifist my whole life. And for the longest time, I thought, well, Germany started two world wars, so we don't need a military. But now it's different. And then as this viewer says, here we had a program, even before the BBC article, where we just said matter-of-factly that Germany started the war. And you've got people out there in social media land that don't believe it. Satan loves that kind of revised history. Nobody started the war. It just happened. I'm an ex-member in the early stages of counseling, trying to work my way back into God's church. It says, your mention of the prodigal son really motivated me. Thank you so much. I've been out for 4 years, and I'm really looking forward to coming back. But right now, I realize it's about reestablishing my personal contact with God, and I have some catching up to do, study-wise. It's truly amazing how far one's mind can go in the other direction, once detached from God, and then the resistance that Satan throws at you when you're trying to come back. It's time to fight with God's Holy Spirit, of course. Thank you, and hope to see all of you soon. Well, hopefully this viewer will fight on and return to the fold. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.